from University of Missouri Extension, 4-H. You have some of our monthly reports. Pam Dutzman, who's our community engagement specialist, I think is at the very end. She's been working with a bunch of other community development people, and they're still offering online virtual courses. I think the thing they advertised on the back is serving on a board, so board training. So if anyone's interested in attending board training, I haven't done the one that they're offering, but I have participated in some in the past, and it's really interesting. Best practices for boards and really just making your boards a lot stronger. So community organizations might like that. I haven't talked with her, but I know that registration is $75 after April 1st. Well, it's already after that. It's $80. If someone really wants to attend that and they need a partial scholarship, I'm sure we can find a way and one of the community development accounts to help out with that. Right now, Tim Schnockenberg, our agronomy specialist, also has his report in there. A lot of programs still virtual as well. In our office in Taney County, people are asking about soil tests. So we're getting a lot of those soil tests in, $20 for a soil test. We get a lot from College of the Ozarks that come in big batches. So that's what we're busy doing with them this year in agronomy. People will ask about pesticide applicator trainings. We used to be able to offer that right there in our office through a video, but this year they wanted that to change up, so they've been doing virtual sessions. So I think there's one coming up with that too. Hopefully they'll get back to their schedule in the fall where we can have more of our field days and a lot more of our ag programs that we usually have. So Master Gardeners, they're still working. They're not offering their brown bag series here in Taney County this year, but the ones over in Stone County are offering one. So some people still want to go to some Master Gardener in-person programs. They can go to the Kimberling Area Library, and they'll be having those there. Let's see, VITA, even though April 15th is coming up this week, they extended federal taxes to May 17th. So we don't have the full support of all the volunteers that worked until this week. A lot of those volunteers are just tired. They want to take a break. They want to get ready for spring. So I don't think we're going to have the one that's at Elevate Branson. I think those volunteers are going to go and get a lot of stuff done that they haven't gotten done this year. But we still will have some. We've done drop-offs this year. So if people want to drop off their taxes, they can do that. So especially here in Forsyth, we'll have a day where we'll still have them up until May 17th and over at OCAC in Branson as well. So just a lot smaller of a crew. So for 4-H, that's the one I really know about. I'm part of an EITC grant that helps pay for some of my salary. I don't know if you knew, but in this past year or so, they all took us down to 0.9 FTE. And we had to find grant money to, you know, get our full paycheck from the past. So luckily enough, someone on campus offered to put me on part of the EITC grant, Earned Income Tax Credit grant. And that was especially because in Taney County, we have families that are lower income and could really use that. A lot of people, 20 to 25% of those who are eligible for the EITC do not take it. They don't understand it. So this is really an education grant that I'll do all year long, talking to different organizations, groups, churches. I'm doing one for Stone County Community Health Coalition this week to really let them know what earned income tax credit is and that even the little bit of money that we think about, it could really help these families out, bring them out of poverty and give them a lot more health benefits. And especially for the kids who are receiving some of that money. The big news for 4-H is we are having our livestock show. We talked with the fair board because I like to do this along with the fair, but they're not having a fair this year. They are having the Derby on June 19th, which is Father's Day weekend, and they offered us to be out there during that time, but Father's Day weekend doesn't work for us that well. So I called if I get this name right, the Eastern Taney County Local Harvest Farmers Market. I call it the Forsyth Farmers Market over there off 76, and they are really excited and would love to have us there. So we are going to have our livestock show on Saturday, June 12th, right next to the farmers market. We borrow goat and sheep panels from Stone County. We bring them over. We set everything up. We break everything down. So let's hope for good weather that day. And we're looking for sponsors with that. We do have the poultry chain contest where these kids have been raising barred rock chickens. And they're going to show three of those chickens, and we're going to try to auction them off to put money in our account for next year to keep this the chain going. And we're also working. This week I'm going to go to Dogwood Canyon. I'm trying to remember it. Dogwood Canyon. I haven't been there before, so I'm really excited about that. But we're not allowed to have overnight summer camps, so usually we go to Roaring River. And Roaring River's not allowing us to do camps either. So we're trying to find ways that we can have camps throughout our area. And I really wanted a camp nearer our area. And so Dogwood Canyon was the people that we're working with to offer day camps. One for the really young kids. We call them Clover Kids. One for juniors and then one for teens. So we'll be out there each day. June 21st, it's a Monday. And then 23rd and 24th, which is a Wednesday and Thursday.
Kids will love that.
Yeah.
You will love
it. So we hope we'll continue and we'll get to do in-person shooting sports competitions. That's what we're really hoping for. We did virtual last year, and in Taney County we had a junior that got first place in his category in the state. We also had a couple of our youth got first place in their category in their age range for archery, too. We were just out last weekend on the archery range. We do that once a month. So shooting sports is still going well, too. Do you have any questions?
Where's the archery range at?
Oh, it'd be nice if we actually had an archery range like some counties. But we set it up. We just go to someone's yard off of Day Road. It's across from Ozark Shooters. So this group is a little bit smaller than the past. We really didn't recruit because we were worried about social distancing and stuff last October. So we have a lot smaller of a group, but we'll start with shotgun at Ozark Shooters and just use their range for shotgun. And then we'll go over to Paul Kirk's home there and just kind of across the way. And we'll do air rifle and archery. So kids still love it. They still have a good time. Parents have a good time, and they're learning a lot of great teamwork and responsibility skills with that, too.
How large of an area does it take for all of that?
Well, it doesn't really take that large of an area, but you just need to make sure that there's nothing behind it. And what's great about Taney County is we have a lot of places that you can set up in the valley. So, you know, those hills kind of provide that backdrop to it. You know, National Archery in the Schools program, which is huge in our schools, is done in a basketball gymnasium. Mm-hmm. So it's all indoors. And a rifle, the same thing too. They can set it up in a gym. And in fact, on our really cold, rainy, snowy days and stuff, we've set up underneath someone's garage and actually shot there as well too. We just need to make sure that there's a safe backdrop behind it. Because if someone actually, you know, pulls back their bow and they're pulling it back not toward the ground but up in the air, it can actually travel far. But we try to watch all of that, and they do pretty good and they're very competitive, and it'd be nice if we could have a space. I think that'd really grow it. I really like 4-H archery program. I'm an instructor as well. I went through that training, and we get to go outside. You know, NASP, they use Genesis bows, which are those compound bows and aluminum arrows, and we'll do longbow, recurve, which I have a recurve. We'll do compound, and we'll have finger release or releases or fingers. So there's a lot of different categories that they can compete in 4-H archery.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised we didn't have an area that they could compete here. I've got friends' children that compete all over on that, and I just assumed that there was an area here that they could.
We have a small range. sorry, I don't remember it, but it's on the way to Kirbyville. It's an MDC mm-hmm. site.
Drury Mensa used to have a...
That's it, yeah. So, but it's not a range where you can watch everyone. They just have individual...
shooting lanes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. shooting lanes. So, Forsyth, the city of Forsyth at one point said, oh, we'd be interested in putting a range together. But, of course, it was in that bottom area that always floods out. And it's... Yeah, it's so hard to think about putting something up there.
I was wondering about the area up where the farmer's market's at that you're referring to, if there was a...
Yeah, you guys would know more than I would. And it really doesn't take much. And, in fact, like Bodark is our closest, biggest one out there. Some counties, they have fairgrounds, and they'll even have their own shotgun range in the houses and everything, the trap houses out there. And it doesn't just benefit 4-H, you know. The scouts also have a shooting program, and you know, they can just learn a lot of safety and stuff before they get out in the field if they want to do hunting. But also there's the JOAD program, which a lot of our kids go up to Springfield to their Parks and Rec and participate in a Junior Olympic archery development program, which would be nice if we had that here.
Doesn't Hollister do archery too, Brandon?
Yep. I think they all do through the NASP.
Yeah,
National
they do NASP.
Archery of School Program.
So you'll have Taneyville, which Taneyville, I think, for such, they do a really good program with that. For a while, I think Branson's was suspended for a little bit. I'm not for sure, but someone around here was. But normally, pretty much all the schools really like participating in it. And they have a lot of grants that go toward it where they can get the equipment and funding to travel places. We go and we raise our money to buy all of our equipment or sometimes commission money that we can get. We might need a couple of targets coming up soon. So, but it's a great program, whoever runs it.
The compound bows used for NASP is nothing like a compound bow used for hunting. Just so you know.
Not nearly as strong.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a NASP, that's probably... I don't know.
We start out our young kids on those bows.
Yeah.
If you look at them, they're, you know, just about this. They don't have much draw weights or anything. They're certainly not going to use the mechanized releases with them. And then you have some of our youth that, what you're talking about, either Olympic bows or hunting. And, you know, they've got stabilizers and the whisker biscuits and everything else on them. And they're very intense. But also, just to be able to work a recurve or a longbow, some of these kids, if they started at 8 years old, even a Genesis bow is sometimes tough for them. And you're more than welcome to come out on a range day. We just bring out chairs and sit back and visit. And I run the range. I'm the RO, the range officer. And you can look at those different bows and everything.
Change gears on you. Do we have somebody over in the office full time?
Yes, that's Linda LaRocque.
Okay. Was there a time period where phone calls weren't getting answered? And I had a few complaints on.
Probably so. Okay. During taxes, if you're over there, it's kind of slowed down now. But if you're there during taxes and people are just calling and it's just all the time and people are coming in too, and it's very overwhelming for our office. Absolutely. And I'm trying to talk to Andrew Zumwalt, who's in charge of the VITA program, and say it's just taking appointments is just really difficult because it really overwhelms our office. And is there another way that we can do it, maybe where we don't take appointments or, you know, they hire someone else or someone else is running that phone line? Because if you're trying to call in to get some information about mushrooms or to set up a soil sample or to sign up for 4-H, you're not getting in at all between February and March.
They weren't able to get through, and I don't think they received a phone call back either. So I don't know how they finally, I don't know if they ever got a hold of you or not. But anyways, I'm just curious.
It is tough, and sometimes Linda can't tell what phone number they left. She's been really good. She'll even come up on weekends unpaid, and I ask her not to, but to go and call back. But we do apologize.
I guys didn't know if it was somebody over there full time or not.
During the VICA program, when she was having to take all the information also, I know it when it was – was there any volunteers that could come and help and answer the phone? Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, the volunteers don't come and answer the phone or anything. in the past, we've had more people in our office, and maybe I can pick up an extra line, and I can make sure I